And we are back down in Warbirds on the fly. J-Mod G, you're listening to EA Radio on 96.5 FM, 1210 on the AM dial, and, of course, online at eaaradio.net. Don't forget, you can download those apps. There's an iPhone app and an Android app for EAA Radio to make your listening pleasure a little bit better. Okay, we are joined now by Glenn Goldman from Canada, and you represent the Canadian group of this whole organization down here, and Captain Eddie from San Diego. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Glenn, I know you're always excited to share with us what goes on down in your little part of the world up here at Warbirds. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Okay, well, about 6 years ago, Rick Siegfried started Training Command as an area we can highlight the trainers. Initially, of course, just generally the World War II stuff. This year we've expanded. We've got two Curtis Jennerys in the area, one that actually flew in from Kentucky. And we have another one being built by one of our members, Bob Baker, who's better known for three Mustang restorations. And he is, it's a work in progress. There's no covering yet. He agreed to bring it up and assemble it so we can get an idea what a Jenny looks like underneath the covers. And he's hoping to have that flying in another year or so, and it'd be awesome if he can bring it up here.
That's really cool. You know, there's one down in Vintage as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At the mail shack. Yep.
Okay.
So, Jenny is represented pretty well this year.
Yeah, we've also got the the Consolidated PT-3 from the EA Museum has joined us this year. Representative of a 1920s, early 1930s design. So we're starting to cover more of the gamut of trainers from the early days. We also have an L-19 that was actually used as a trainer, train Army pilots at Fort Rucker. So we have that on display as well. So we are, again, expanding the boundaries on both ends of the time spectrum and farms of trainers that are on display in Training Command. And part of our Training Command area is the Warbird Tours. We have a tram that runs every hour on the hour from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's about a 40 to 45-minute tour through the Warbird area, which is narrated, and we give you a little brief, you know, we tell stories. We're not getting into technical stuff, but stories about various aircraft, the design origins, histories, you know, significance. And, of course, at the end, a little sales pitch to join Warbirds and help support the cause.
Yeah, exactly. And that one of the first things people will notice when they come down here to Warbirds is all these people in these funny clothes, which is another really cool thing about Warbirds. The clothes, the period.
Oh, the reenactors. I'm sorry. Yes, the reenactors. And that area has really expanded over the last few years and is very, very popular. The reenactor groups, they set up just like it was back in 1945. They live in, a lot of them are actual tents and equipment from the period. If not, they're exact reproductions. They're wearing their favorite uniforms, eating off period trays, etc. And it's a little the time capsule.
You know, something that I've noticed, Glenn, is as we know, back in the wartime, the people who actually were flying these airplanes and that were driving the Jeeps around, they were typically very young.
They were typically
their late teens or early 20s.
Absolutely.
Out there in the field. And I'm seeing a change here over the last couple of years. I'm seeing a lot more young people partaking in that activity. It used to be kind of something that older people did.
Absolutely. A number of my friends have been doing it for years. Their kids are now getting involved. I mean, I've been there. This is my 35th year here. I've got two kids. My kids have been here 4 years, although I left them at home this year, much to their chagrin. But those of us that kind of grew up here, the next generation behind us, you know, we're bringing our kids. And, you know, they have the interest, and they're carrying on the tradition.
Which is really neat. So tell us about what you have. You have something that you do in the afternoon over here, don't you, specifically? In the review area? Is it part of your...
The Warbird Review?
Yeah.
No, that's actually not part of our area.
That's not
we
yours.
We are the Training Command. Yeah, Bill Harrison can give you more details on that one.
Yeah,
We'll bring him back for that.
Okay, so you've got the Training Command area that Rick started years ago.
Yeah, and the tram we started as well about 4 years ago.
Where is that in relation to where the review is taking place?
Well, actually, we're just immediately south of the Warbirds and Review area. You can tell they've got the stands and the big hard stand area and a bunch of TV production folks. We are just due south of that, and you can't miss it. We've got a big tent. We've got our Training Command sign, and, of course, we've got all the trainers lined up there. We have... I think about 8 aircraft currently on display there. And you'll see our tram there when it's not out giving the tours.
Okay, very cool. And Captain Eddie, what is your story?
Bill wanted me to talk about how difficult it is really to get an airplane here. I think that's...
Oh, yeah, okay, because we had touched on that a little earlier.
I heard you guys talked a little bit about it. And it's just, you know, this is, my girlfriend says it's more a passion that turns into an addiction. And it's a very, very difficult task, I think, for all of us. In fact, you know, we've always had these shirts, you know, that said, keep them flying. And she said it should say, keep them flying and die trying. So I'm...
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't mean not necessarily flying the airplane, but it's just the amount of work. And my airplane, it's been 20 years since I bought the Firefly. I mean, I remember I first saw it in trade a plane in 93, purchased the airplane in 94. It doesn't even seem possible. But, I mean, 20 years of my life has gone. And what happened, the airplane was damaged 2 years ago in a landing accident. It was a fatigue fracture and a gear part. After I finished flying an air show in San Diego, I mean, I was going 40 or 50 knots, but did a bunch of damage to the airplane. So it's being repaired now, but I've had a 2-year vacation kind of from not flying air shows. And, you know, I typically flew 10 to 12 air shows a year. And because I live in California, it's a long, long way to bring it out here to Oshkosh. I
mean, now, you have a Fairey Firefly. Describe to the listeners what that is, because it's a very rare aircraft.
Yeah, they're basically... two of them left flying. There are a bunch in museums. The Royal Navy had one, and they crashed theirs. And the Canadian Warplane Heritage has one, and I have one. It's a long-range reconnaissance fighter. It's a shipboard airplane. The requirements for it were first put out in 1939, if you can believe that. But it was kind of late in the war. It entered service in 1944. There were 1,702 of them built. And so I have one of the later Mark 1s. My airplane actually flew in Korea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's 1,702 of them built, and now there are two left, and that's it. There are other projects out there that can fly, but it's so expensive. And for my restoration took 45,000 man-hours over 8 years.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
I mean, and when you figure that out, you know, one man-year is 2,000 man-hours, so that's 22.5 man-years of work.
So you wanted to talk about getting here, and I think, you know, people who attend Oshkosh, a lot of people fly here, but they're flying in a general aviation airplane where they pretty much have support anywhere that they stop. If they have a magneto problem, if they have any kind of a problem with their general aviation aircraft, it's pretty easy to get it attended to en route from anywhere in the continental United States. You, on the other hand, or anybody who flies a unique airplane or a warbird, of course, is not going to be able to pull in and talk to Joe Buck, the mechanic at the local airport, where you stop for gas and you've got a brake going out or something.
Well, with us, I normally arrive here with my friends Grumman Avenger. We fly with a full set of tools and a full set of manuals in the aircraft because your average GA mechanic won't know what to do.
Yeah, and the problem with the Firefly, of course, is all the parts are British, so you can't use AN hardware on the airplane. So if something breaks, I mean, even a screw and what do you bring with you? It's a big airplane. That's what's good about it. And, you know, I call it the family truckster because it's big. I mean, you can put a lot of stuff in it. I mean, my friends have got Spitfires. You know, they're carrying a small little bag, and that's stuffed up in the gun bay, and you wonder why the guy's wearing the same clothes for the whole week. I mean, it's terrible. And it's, I go, don't you own any other clothes? And he goes, well, I do, but they don't fit in the airplane. And so Firefly bring extra tailwheel. I bring, like, a wing straining cable in case it gets windy or, you know, if you have to leave the airplane someplace. You have to have all British tools, which you're not going to find someplace. And so that's, you know, it's a good thing. It's a big airplane. I mean, the airplane can gross out at 16,000 pounds. So that's for a fighter, that's a pretty big airplane.
That is.
It's Griffin powered, so it's a big V-12. And then to operate the airplane, you know, it's really tough because the people here, I mean, it is really all volunteer. A lot of times you see a lot of Midwest airplanes, and the reason for that is just cost. I mean, my direct operating costs are about $5,000 an hour, and that's insurance, maintenance, fuel, and the engine overhaul. And to get here, it's 10 hours each way, so it's pretty easy to figure that out. That's $100,000 to bring the airplane back here. And they go, oh, don't they give you fuel to fly in the show? And, you know, I tell people,
that's
you
a
know,
very
flying,
small part
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, flying, it's, flying one of these airplanes, fuel is absolutely the cheapest part of owning the airplane.
Yeah. Well, and it is nice that they provide that as an incentive when you're here to fly in the air show. But the fact that you just mentioned of getting here is it can be a challenge. And then you have weather. We didn't even talk about the weather. You've got there's a lot of people going through a lot of things to bring these beautiful airplanes to Oshkosh.
Yeah, and that's the last time the airplane was here. I haven't had it here for quite a while. And I may be able to bring it now because it's being rebuilt again in Colorado. So that's already halfway here, so that's great for me. But the last time I was here, and this is something you have to weigh, the airplane broke. I blew a hydraulic seal in the flap ram. That all had to be all pulled apart. And thank God for EAA because the airplane was, we stored it in the Weeks hangar. But it took 2 months to get it out of here. And I think that was another $75,000 in labor and cars and stuff going back and forth. So, I mean, you have to, basically it's an addiction. I mean, it's like, I'm glad it's not drugs or something like that.
Yeah, right.
It's just as bad.
Well, I'll tell you, I always enjoy Wednesday down here at Warbirds. It's such a treat to come down here and see how passionate you guys are about all the things that you do. You're passionate about safety. You're passionate about keeping the old birds flying. You're passionate about sharing the old airplanes with kids. I see a lot of attention to kids at the individual airplanes. And it just really is a cool place to be down here on the north end of AirVenture. It really is.
Well, we got to get the next generation interested to keep these airplanes flying.
That's right. Now, how come you left your kids at home, Glenn?
Well, I brought my T-34 this year.
Oh, okay.
And I've got
they
two kids
fit.
In one seat, and the girlfriend won the coin toss.
Aha. Uh-huh. And you have a week's worth of clothes.
That's right, I do.
All right. Well, Bill Harrison, gentlemen, I sure appreciate you putting this great hour lineup together, and our listeners appreciate it as well. We'll be back down here in Warbirds a year from now on Wednesday, and let's hope that the weather is as equally beautiful. And, Bill, thank you for everything you do.
Well, you're welcome. Can I plug Warbirds in Review real quick?
Plug it real quick.
Real quick. They ought to come down and see it. It's one of the best things we do. We have guests down there who own the airplanes or flew them in combat. We have Medal of Honor winners. We now have a Jumbotron that shows it on television, what's going on. It's just really great. It's part of our educational system.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
J-Mod G, we're on the fly tomorrow at the IAC. Aerobatics is what tomorrow is going to be about. Have a great rest of the day, and you're listening to EAA Radio.